Good evening, good evening. I'm your host for this evening, Harry Balzac. Now, Rudolph has a pair of rocket skates strapped to his feet as he needs to keep nipping off, so he tells us. Personally, I think it was that dodgy unknown thing in a bun that he had at McThargoid's, at least by the number of flushes, both hot and otherwise, that he's experiencing.
Did someone say hot? I'm Wilma Fingerdew.
No, he said flush, and I'm Mia Harkness.
I'm Juan Kerr, and I'm neither dodgy nor have I had my thing in a bun.
I'm Norma Snuckers, and I'm saying nothing about nipping off.
I'm Rudolph Hucker, and,
Ooh.
Eggy poos. Just because they're red, they think they're Santa.
The best little warhouse in Nexus.
Not mushroom at the top, as Commander goes way too far in foraging foray.
Dude, they're filming at Hutton.
Missions impossible?
Don't panic! It's Havoc in Avic.
Community updates from near and far, but mostly far.
First, this evening, another update from Paladin Space. And yet more praise for the generosity of the Eggy Poos. EGPU. They decided that due to having large bellies, enormous beards, and largely unemptied sacks, that they'd better start giving away treasure. Which they've done with wild abandon in the last week. They've donated their home system to another minor faction. In fact, they've donated a few systems to needy NPC player factions. They've given away squillions in combat bonds. They've handed over the laurel wreaths in all wars for the last week to other people. How lovely of them. And what's more, it appears that on top of all that giving, they also don't give a toss. They don't care if they upset folks. For example, Commander Socrates Ectoplasm has been grinding Federation rank to be able to get a corvette. Finally got one, and with the credit balance, money from selling the Federal Assault Ship, and a few credits that were back down the back of the sofa, with enough money left over for one rebuy, got back to Sugrovik to lay waste to the EGU, only to find the war was already over. The Eggy Poos have a lot to answer for.
It's come to the attention of Hutton's cultural attachés that Major General Sir Noctivagus is not the only one in the galaxy determined to make sure that the human race is safe if it's ever attacked by very, very small invaders. Nocti's flaming frigate filled with fleece-eyed flyers has a rival, courtesy of Commander Jaguarius, who has built a fleet carrier complete with his own Sun et Lumiere show. When demonstrating his fleet carrier, Commander Jaguarius has eschewed the tedious technique of hiding his mouth behind his hand and going pew pew, or trying to seem like he's talking over the radio by making sounds that, quite frankly, remind you of someone preparing to spit without checking in which direction the wind is blowing, or flashing a torch at the fuselage saying, "Look there, it blinked." Oh no, Jaguarius has gone the full 822.96 centimetres. There are lights that blink, "Help, I'm trapped in cubicle 3 in Morse code." There are the sounds of takeoff, departure, and not to be too delicate about it, a full honk. And just as soon as he's collected enough real-world art, he's going to paint it all the same colour as his real fleet carrier. We look forward to seeing more from Commander Jaguarius about how he completed the kitting out of his miniature masterpiece. For example, just how did he manage to decide what to fit in the fleet carrier interior?
Commander Exorcist isn't one who knows when it's sensible to stop, not when it's time to stop searching, to stop climbing, or even to stop to ask for directions. This, to us, seems to be the only explanation for the commander's recent selfie, taken at the top of a mountain range on this ammonia world. It's a dense fungoid forest, worse than the sight that greets helpers at Nurse Wyeth's monthly orthopedic clinic for the oversweaty pilot. Taller than three apology officers standing on each other's shoulders, more orange than Orange Spark and Orange Phoenix after they've been tangoed, put together, and a bigger knob than on the end of the most imposing wizard's staff. It's an impressive find. Mind you, this is an ammonia world. It does mean that any samples you collect are likely to smell like samples you might donate, you know. Ones where the doctor gives you a little plastic pot and says, try to fill it all the way up, but shouts at you if you do so before they let go of it. Speculation as to suitable uses for the fungus include fertilizer, smelling salts, bleach, and when dried and mixed with tobacco and other chemicals, makes a type of snuff that'll clear your sinuses in one sneeze, just as long as you don't take too much, or it'll make a mess of your best jumper and mean that you no longer have a need for neckties or hats. We here at Hutton look forward to seeing this fungal growth being traded in future. It's likely to only be found in very limited quantities. You could say this was a rare good. But when this is suggested to Amelia, she replied with, get that stinky stuff away from me. It smells like the inside of a long-distance explorer's flight suit. She'll come round to the idea. It's in her contract, after all.
It's all go at Hutton this week, as location filming began for the latest big-budget blockbuster, Human, Where's My Anaconda? Set decorators and lighting technicians have been busily transforming the west end of the parade to resemble the main deck on the fictional station of Glasgow City, where the film is set. The frontage of McThargoids has been changed to McMcThargoids. The window of Budget Clones for You has been draped in white cloth to stop the stock from gathering around the lights. Wanda's frontage shop window, Wanda's entrance... Look, Wanda's has been changed to Senga's, and they changed all the biffer bins to muck biffer bins. Every detail has been considered. The crew even produced authentic Glasgow City litter for the set, which in turn caused a security incident when they tried to stop floor mopping guy from cleaning it up. The film stars veteran actor Dick Trickle as a Thargoid agent sent in disguise to spy on humans and learn their ways before returning to the Hive to share all he's learnt. After his pod is knocked off course, he crash lands at Glasgow City and sustains a concussion, so can't remember that he's a Thargoid sleeper agent and finds himself unable to understand the language of the local Glaswegians. He tries to regain his identity, complete his mission, and with hilarious consequences. This non-stop laugh-a-minute romp is rated O for Oh No on the Flossy scale of classification and contains graphic scenes of violence, mutilation, and cannibalism.
The Pilots Federation, amongst other news this week, have been dropping hints that mission givers throughout the galaxy have been in special training seminars for weeks in preparation for some new missions. Unfortunately, due to a number of federal factions eating the crayons, and at least one Imperial mission giver being caught fornicating with the overhead projector whilst in the throes of some personal orgiastic fervour, the new missions have been delayed by a week or so. Speculation has been running wild about what the new kinds of missions are. After all, we already have missions for taking stuff somewhere, getting stuff from somewhere, blowing other ships up, giving away free credits, probing things with extreme prejudice, assassinating naughty people, assassinating nice people, assassinating whole settlements, finding lost things, taking people somewhere and back again. So what else could it be? Is it little yellow truck surfing in Corollis stations? or pie-eating contests in the bar, or bin diving. Who can find the Betamax version of the cat video first? Of course, as much as we'd love it to be escort missions, and no, those of you with a dirty mind can stop that right now. It doesn't involve crotchless, flightless suits and Medbee super lube. We're talking about the careful minder missions that help someone important get somewhere important without being perforated. However, much to the delight of Flossie, we reckon it's going to be combat. Good old-fashioned base-busting, building-breaking, laser-smashing combat. The full Terminator. The Chuck Norris of missions. Of course, the people who really need to go the full going postal on something at the moment, Team Hotbox may not be getting their hands on this one as it happens. Well, as it appears that an edict has gone out that they will forevermore be legless. Much like the audience at the last Frontier community meet.
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Okay, Haxwing. We have a real chance to get ahead of Tharg this week. There are no new attacks, and we've made great progress in Gavia. We need to keep pushing Tharg out so we can move on to Melanges before he strikes again. We also still have minimal Goid presence in Lembas and Wellington, so if you are still in the Witchhead Nebula, stay there and finish kicking Tharg out. Everyone else, let's clear the bubble. You can keep track of Tharg's movements reported by AXI on Thargoid.watch. There are no stations currently conducting evacuations, but we still have 5 stations under repair. Operation Ida's current repair supply target is Hanna Enterprise in Shenvi, if you want to do some trucking for a good cause. Learn about their work at OperationIda.com. Let's see how many of these systems we can clear this week. The remaining 2 Witchhead systems have a marginal presence, and Gabia in the bubble is only moderate. No reason we can't have all 3 systems cleared by next Thursday, so let's get to work. Watch out for each other, keep your eyes on the signal sources, and always be ready to defend the mug.
Hexcom message complete. Defend the mug.
Encrypted transmission complete.
Well, after a period of calm in Hutton Space, the last few weeks have seen increasing levels of excitement, and this week is no exception, with a recovery in Barnard's Star and double trouble in Avik. More on that story later. Barnard's Star has had a happier week than of late. After narrowly avoiding an election a week ago, Hutton is now 20 points above the second place faction, but still only on 37 before you get too excited. There is a civil war pending amongst the also-rans, but it's also a good moment to go in there and boost a bit of Hutton influence. You know, some folks never seem to get the message, do they? No matter how many times you smack them around the head with a pan or kick them in the diddly-doo-dahs, joining the eggy-poos in this strangely compulsive practice of vicarious self-abuse are serious corporation. Fresh from their drubbing in Avik 2 weeks ago, they have come straight back for a second round of punishment. Some might say that they've been used as a stalking horse by the EDF, who appear to have been pushing influence in the system, or at the very least not controlling it, dropping Hutton by lopping a whopping third off our influence in only a week. Others might say that they just enjoy a darn good thrashing too much. The truth, however, probably lies somewhere in between, so head over to Avik and administer a military-grade slapping to the Sirius Corporation. To add insult to Avik's woes, there is also an outbreak of mods. So if you aren't of the pew-pew persuasion, ship in meds, but medium ships only. Rumour has it that a newly commissioned purple carrier is on station stocked with more meds than a nonagenarian's bathroom cabinet. Continuing with the theme of systems that have fallen on tough times, we've had our next slide, please, in Ross 671. After seemingly overcoming a setback at the start of 3308, Ross 671 started a steady slide into the 30s over the last week or so. With no obvious cause, once Avic is back on its feet, this easily accessible system would benefit from a bit of truckerly kindness. The infrastructure failure in Wolf 359 continues and is hampering the smooth running of the system, which is stalled on 39. Shipping water purifiers and power generators to the large pads in Lomas, Orbiter and Powell High to bring relief. The push for control of Wolf 562 continues as Hutton gain 3 points in the week and are only 11 points behind Wolf 562 Major Inc., the controlling faction, who are on 42. So if we maintain the effort, it's only a matter of time. At the overachieving end of the Hutton systems table, we have 6 systems above 60, 4 of which are 70 or over. Please don't boost or dump data into systems that are above 60%, or we just waste an expansion and waste more time and effort withdrawing. For example, last week's expansion war into the Corbenic system was successfully lost early in the week, but we could have avoided it altogether if we kept our systems under control. Meanwhile, in Colonia, Grand High Admiral, Chief Air Marshal Generalissimo Hanky Grand Kazi of all the Colonia clones asked that Chuckers fight for hot coal in a war just starting in Pythias, which has also discontented the locals, and finish off the last 2 days of the election against Colonia Cooperative in Tyr. Priorities this week are: if you want to truck something, relieve the outbreak in Avic by shipping in meds and ship water purifiers and power generators into Wolf 359 to end the infrastructure failure. Boost up influence in Barnard Star and Ross 671. If you want to shoot something, win the war in Avic against Sirius Corporation.
Some of the events that we've been reporting on for several weeks have inevitably come to a close, but new events are always being organised, and so this week we're hearing about All the Clouds in the Sky, the Nexus Exploration, Celebration of Early Astronomy 4, the Bandit Racing League, TRIP Omega Phase 2, Does the Sun Still Rise in the East in the East? Links will of course be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. Commander Diluvian's expedition All the Clouds in the Sky is still progressing, but it's still never enough for him, as he explains. Expedition Day 176, we are still in the area of the Orion Complex. I think it's a positive coincidence that again the time was very limited and we did not move any further. The area is beautiful and has a lot to offer. Zodiac is still the base and hopefully soon we'll start moving forward and exploring the vastness of the cosmos. With that said though, I have some sad news to announce. Our permission for regular transmissions of the expedition progress expired and the Pilots Federation is making the renewal extremely difficult. Moving forward, there will be no Tuesday and Thursday transmission until further notice. I hope we'll sort it out one day and we'll all come back to normal. Right now, I'm trying to find resources to move forwards and continue exploring the clouds. On an interesting note, just realised last time that there's one more, and not very small, nebula in the region. The Messier 78 Nebula, again undocumented. We'll check it out and report our progress as soon as possible. Commander Caboose has news of Nexus, but I think that a certain fleet carrier has become quite shy and as it's hardly mentioned.
Legacy of Dawn has finished preparations for departure and will be returning to the bubble by the end of this month, if all goes to plan. The Gary Hogan is gathering tritium for its final preparations before setting off.
Commander Kesica sent in A final report from Celebration 4 Early Astronomy 4 last week, but she and her team wanted to send this last note.
Celebration of Early Astronomy 4 has come to a close. Some of our pilots are still making their way through the route, while others have returned to assisting with the ventures of our faction CEA, Psychiatric Institutions Limited, or simply went their own way. However, stay tuned on our website for Celebration of Early Astronomy 5 that should be announced and scheduled later this year for near the end of summer and into autumn. We will also be hosting small miniature expeditions in the interim as well. Additionally, in partnership with East India Company, Radio Sidewinder, Sinbad Regime, Galcop and Diamond Frogs, we will be helping host Elite Aid on March 19th. This will be a 24-hour charity stream. If you would like more information, check out our website at theexpedition.info. Meanwhile, we'd like to sign off with our final mass jump of the Celebration of Early Astronomy 4.
The most recent Bandit Racing League event was on Saturday, but a sad Commander DB Exterminator has this to say.
Greetings, Commanders. It is with a heavy heart I am speaking to you tonight. Due to no one taking part in last week's race and my resignation from the 26th Division, I'm putting the Bandit Racing League on hold. I'm hoping to get things straightened out and have the league return in May. To all those Commanders who have taken part, thank you, and I look forward to racing with you again. To the fans, my sincere apologies and regrets that the situation with the 26 has had this unfortunate effect. Hoping to see you soon, Commanders, DB Exterminator.
We've given you Commander Radium's report and summary of Trip Omega's first phase, but there's no rest for the committed, and so he's back with his update.
Titan Contractor's fourth and biggest trip, codenamed Omega, is now in the second phase of its journey. In the first few days of the trip, we've explored several generation ships, namely the Achilles, Artemis, Atlas, Demeter, and the Epimetheus. These abandoned colony ships all have unique lore coinciding with their story as to how they failed, and our trip has allowed commanders to experience similar sights for 24 days since we started. Likewise, our story continues alongside the trip, bringing forth an interesting narrative for players to get involved in. Currently, 200 million in credits are also available in our trip challenges, where commanders provide cool screenshots for a chance to win the challenge, with more larger rewards and harder challenges to come. Although the trip has already begun, commanders can still join by linking up with the TOC Solaris Q4V40N fleet carrier and follow along our route via our linked website page. Stay safe.
We've information about a brand new expedition now, one that actually started on March the 1st, but with an end date of October the 31st, we reckon you've still got just about got enough time to sign up for it. Their leader.
My name is Commander The Presence, and I sought to run this expedition, as during my time as an independent pilot and member of the Silverback Squadron, I have travelled to the north of the Milky Way. During Distant Worlds 2, I travelled to Beagle Point in a Python with just 34 light-year jump range. To any other pilots out there thinking of doing the same, don't. Just don't. Trust me on this one. I have been south through the Formidine Rift 3 years running trying to get to Cyredia Alpha Alpha Dash Alpha Hotel Zero in an Asp Explorer, and then an Explorer Condor with an 82 light year jump range, and finally in a fleet carrier, and I still couldn't reach the place. I've been west to Star One. Boring, the Cassiopeia galaxy still looks like an ice cream cone, but without all the interesting stars around it. And Ericsson's star reports that I was fleeing an impending paternity case are somewhat exaggerated. To the top of the galaxy at Goliath's Resk and Rackham's Peak, and down to Zibalba. So the journey east to Magellan's star is the last cardinal point on the map for me to visit. My good friend, Commander Junagu, had recently planned a proper expedition with his carrier, the In Search of Gwydion jolly. Pretty sure he never found any Gwydions, but I'd never seen him in with any anyway. The thought, if he can do it, then so can I, was the driving force behind me planning this route. Timescales between waypoints, allowing for exobiology, that's cabbage count into the layman, setting up minor points of interest for fast pilots who can't wait for us old codgers in the silverbacks, and making sure we all had the jump range to get to Magellan's star. The notion that I did all that just so Junagu wasn't the only one with a leader of the pack badge from the nice guys and girls at EDSM is a scurrilous remark, and any repetition will result in letters from my lawyers. Next week, I may even have some news about the expedition. Until then, TTFN!
Are you taking part in an event that we're not covering? Or have you heard about an event that we didn't mention? Then please email itookpart@huddenorbital.com and we'll do the rest.